It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Jack Manuel here for another Brooklyn Buzz and another Nets win, baby. The Nets now at 500 after defeating the Washington Wizards 102-94, and let's just put this one down as a W and move on to the next one. It was not the prettiest of games by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, not a lot to really write home about. I'll go through a few of the game notes before talking a little bit of bigger picture stuff about the Nets. And I think the big thing tonight was the return of Nick Claxton. Clax City. He is so important to what the Brooklyn Nets do and what he did tonight in his return. 28 minutes, 5 of 7 from the field, 13 boards, including 4 offensive, 2 assists, 4 blocks, plus 8, had a double-double with the 10 points. And you just see, like, on a game from a return, you know, Cam Johnson struggled a little bit, you know, in his return. But Nick Claxton, Nick and I were chatting about in the last pod about him just being super confident in his body. And we sort of saw that in some little workouts beforehand. But tonight, we got it all. Like, his offensive repertoire was on display. You know, he had a couple of little, you know, offensive moves in terms of finishing with his right hand, finishing in the post. His, you know, just his body fluidity for a guy of his size. His defensive rim protection is just so goddamn important. And it was just great to have him back. And going forward, like, it's going to be invaluable for the Nets as they try to improve a little bit on the defensive end of the floor. So, yeah, Clax City, super good to have him back. He was probably the Nets' best player. Like, you could make an argument for Mikal Bridges, but his efficiency wasn't necessarily amazing. 34 minutes for him, 11 of 29 from the field, 2 of 14 from 3. Really struggling from there. Really, really struggling from the perimeter. And I'm still confident that he'll get that going, but, you know, it wasn't the best for him tonight when it came to that. But otherwise, that his best rebounding performance of his career, you know, equaled Nick Claxton's rebounds, had the 13 rebounds, including 4 of them offensive, couple of assists and a steal, led the team in plus-minus with plus 17 for his 27 points. And I think the mentality that he was sort of taking was to just shoot through it, you know, shoot through the woes. And look, the woes certainly are going to deplete a little bit when it comes to his perimeter numbers, three-point numbers, but he, you know, at the halftime sort of break, you could tell how sort of locked in he was. He's just like, get good shots, you know, get the shots going. And look, unfortunately, you know, he's not really finding much rhythm from the perimeter. But it's interesting because that's normally where he has shone. You know, his pull-up shooting was something that was really great for him. And, you know, I've said that I'm not necessarily going to buy into, you know, Mikal Bridges is a bum, all that sort of stuff. But, you know, he's got areas that he can fine-tune and areas that he should be performing better at. Like, he is a really good three-point shooter across his career, so he should be shooting better from there. You know, in the first half, you know, he was shooting 2 or 3 at the rim and 4 or 6 from mid-range. His mid-range is money. Like, you know, especially when he's going to the left, like, he just has comfort level going to the left, shooting off of that sort of rhythm. But, yeah, it's just interesting to sort of see whether that will come back. And I think Ben Simmons being out, I'll chat about that a bit later on, will have a bit of an effect, but also, you know, Cam Thomas being out has a big effect on that too. But yeah, we'll see how it pans out because, you know, before the game, it was Jacques Vaughn sort of saying, talking about the fact that before tonight, Mikal Bridges was shooting, you know, just over 30% from 3. And Jacques Vaughn said this, I think looking at the shots, it's been a variant so far this year. What was he, 1 for 6 the last game? The looks that he had were really good looks. I wouldn't mind seeing 2 or 3 more of his mid-range shots being 3s. Ben Simmons' ability, though, I think coincides a little bit where Ben's going to get you those good early looks. Those are free and easy to take. A lot of Mikal's shots have been chased down and contested just because those high-level dudes are defending him on a nightly basis. So, yeah, look, his numbers aren't amazing, But I think he'll find, once that three-point shot starts falling, I think that's when the offensive rhythm will start to continue. And one thing he did really well last year was get to the line a lot, and, you know, get into to the free throw line, and he hasn't been doing that as well. So, you know, the mid-range, that sort of middle area, but the other two areas, like the three-level scoring, is where he sort of needs to find his footing a little bit more. And I have faith that he will. I have faith that he will. I think that he'll go through some teething issues. We're 10 games into the season, so, you know, ask me in another 10 or 20. But yeah, and he also looked good with the ball in his hands. Like, he had a nice sort of pick and roll play with Clax, and had, you know, and I've criticized his handle. A lot of other people have, but, you know, as he's sort of rolling and he finishes nicely at the rim, sort of reads the defense quite well. So I think that's an area of improvement and a nice little play for him. So that was really early in the game. You know, I think something like 2 or 3 minutes into the game. But yeah, so we'll see how Brooklyn Bridges goes. But he's going to be all right. He'll keep working and he'll keep moving. But in saying that, you know, there was a few other guys to sort of jump into in terms of what we saw. You know, Dorian Finney-Smith, only 20 minutes for him tonight. It was 2 of 6 from three. That for him was 6 points. But the two guys, the other two stars I want to talk about and sort of discuss them together, is Cam Johnson, who, while was positive in the plus minus and did a little bit when it came to the rebounding, didn't really have an assist. The Nets passing in the absence of Ben Simmons is pronounced. And I think that in the half court, in the open court, they're just not able to generate any semblance of decent offense. And you'd think Spencer would provide that a little bit, but, you know, I can chat about him. But Cam Johnson has struggled a bit, guys. You know, 2 of 11 from 3, 5 of 16 from the field for his 14 points. Now, I think some of it is him, you know, working out the rust, but, you know, I'm not going to give him the nature of being able to go, give him 3 or 4 games. This is a guy we've paid, you know, $25 million to, you know, a hefty contract. So he needs to be performing. And look, I think the volume, the three ball for him as well is going to fall. He's as elite, if not more so, than Mikal Bridges. But it's the other areas of his game. Like, he's just, you know, he had 3 turnovers. You know, he shouldn't be having 3 turnovers. Like, he's not having the ball in his hands for extended periods like, you know, Bridges or Thomas or some other guys will have. And the Nets' turnovers was pretty poor tonight against the Washington Wizards team that isn't necessarily the best in the world at forcing them. You know, Dennis Smith Jr. had 4 himself and Mikhail had 4 himself. Royce had 2 and Dorian Finney-Smith had 2 himself as well. So the Nets need to take care of the ball better, and then included Cam Johnson. I think he needs to perform. Like, he just needs to. Like, we're the Nets, in the absence of two of our five starters, you know, they need the other guys to step up, next man up mentality. And Cam Johnson didn't do that tonight. Hopefully he can do that against the Magic. And Spencer Dinwiddie is just a really weird one. Like, Nick and I discussed him at length, and we sort of got the same from him. You know, 6 of 7 from the free throw line, 12 points, 3 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, 3 of 10 from the field, and 0 of 5 from 3. Now, I don't really know what's going on. Now, there's some people that are saying that he's, you know, demanded a trade request, and there's things like that happening. His role has changed in the when Cam sort of has been breaking out. But there's also, like, the ball's been out of his hands a little bit more when it, like, in terms of playmaking. Like, he's not being asked to be a floor general, which he has the capacity to do. I wonder if that's on his own accord or whether that's through the coaching staff. But he's a good playmaker for himself and others. And whether he's not performing to his capabilities, that's certainly true. But whether he's been given the opportunities and spots to be able to do that is another question as well. Because, you know, you look at all the numbers that are out there, Spencer's always a part of the positive lineups for the Nets. But yeah, it's an intriguing one, is what I'll say. And one to watch when it comes to Spencer Dinwiddie, who is a very good NBA player. And it's just a little bit of a head scratcher. Not sure what the answers are there and what might be going on behind the scenes with Spence. But after the break, guys, we'll get to the rest of the rotation players and then a few more general game notes and looking forward for the Nets. All right, let's get to the bench. Royce O'Neal, 31 minutes for him tonight. The only one that's shot semi-well from three. You know, 3 of 7 for him. You know, the Nets shot 12 of 49 from three overall. 12 of 49. That's less than 25%. It was a bit pitiful from there and not much better from the field. 37 of 98. So, look, the offense was just putrid. And Royce was good. You know, 10 points, 6 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals. The fact that he led the team in assists behind Dennis Smith Jr. is intriguing, I guess is what I would say to that. But his secondary ball handling is positive. Trenton Watford didn't get a heap of time tonight. And you know, his out big popping performances from, against Miami have lessened a little bit of late. But Daron Sharp was quite good tonight, using his size to his advantage, you know. 12 rebounds in 19 minutes. The dude knows how to rebound, but he also is still finding his footing as a defensive force and a defensive anchor. There's times where he's jumping too much for blocks that just aren't there. He's not Nick Claxton. He's not getting them. So just box out and do your thing on the defensive boards, because 7 offensive rebounds to 5 defensive rebounds. As much as that looks good on the stat sheet, it just means that I think he needs to find a greater balance with his rebounding. I know Nick has alluded to that too, but Dennis Smith Jr., 19 minutes for him, 2-4 from the field, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 turnovers. He has a lot of positive plays and then a lot of negative plays. It's, I just think that Wood Riley's in like 35 minutes to spend, so maybe limit Dennis Smith Jr.'s role somewhat, but that's what happens in the absence of Cam Thomas. And also, when there was an injury scare for Lonnie Walker, who only played 5 minutes in the first half, and he also spoke in general about, you know, the injury that he has sustained and how he's sort of been working through that. And I'm not going to say it's a worry, but I wasn't necessarily the happiest when I saw this. He sort of said that he's been playing through significant knee pain since Brooklyn's second game and re-aggravated today. He said, "My knee's just been sore since game 2 and in a lot of pain. Just been playing through it for the most part. Damn near playing on one leg. Kind of just aggravated a little bit. For the most part, I'm good. I don't see myself missing any games." And he also said this, "I don't feel obligated, but I know I got to do it for my team. If I have the ability to still run and jump and do things, no matter how sore I am, no matter how hurt I am, I'm going to give it 110%. If I can't go, that means I literally am dying at that point. Knock on wood, I want to give this team my all. I want to give this organization my all. That's just my mindset." Now, goddamn, I love that mindset. But also, I think he needs to be held back a little bit, because I don't want this to be a long-term issue for Lonnie, who's been absolutely brilliant for the Nets overall. So yeah, definitely keep an eye on that. Keep a very close eye on that. And hopefully, you know, we have Cam Thomas. His ankle injury is back, and he's back in a couple of weeks. But yeah, the Nets rely on Lonnie Walker for a lot. And the fact that he's been playing through pain for, you know, an extended period, 8 games now, and the fact that he's re-aggravated again, we'll see if he plays against the Magic, suits up against the Magic, but maybe for his own good that he shouldn't. But in saying that, hopefully he's right and the pain isn't too... It's manageable. Let's just say, let's just hope it's manageable. But yeah, I guess outside of that, guys, the other rotation players to sort of speak about, we didn't get to see any time from Harry Giles, Monty Brooks, some other general game notes. The Nets dominated the boards, which they've been doing pretty well this season. The Wizards have been one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA. Their turnovers, the Wizards had 28 points off the Nets' 19 turnovers and 12 more than the Nets overall, with 16 points off the turnovers. They also were outscored off the fast break, 21-11. That's the Ben Simmons effect right there. So I think that in the absence of this game really highlighted Ben Simmons' effect on the offensive end, in terms of the ability to generate fast break points, easy opportunities in transition for his teammates, but also Cam Thomas, who just would have absolutely cooked this Wizards team, and just his offensive arsenal and skill would have opened up so much for himself and his teammates, and the space that he would have had, you know, playing alongside Clax as well. I just think that those guys being out, it's sort of highlighted that Ben Simmons is ridiculously important despite what's going on with him, and Cam Thomas is even more so. So look, it's intriguing. We'll see how we go looking forward. But you know, a couple of things I wanted to allude to as well, guys, on top of the general game stuff. The Nets are 500. You know, taking everything into account, the fact that the Nets are where they are after injuries to so many of their guys, you know, you take it. You know, the Nets could easily be 7-3, 8-2, and we'd be thinking about them in a different sort of context, but I still think about them in a pretty positive context, because there's the Nets, 2 of their 4 or 5 best players, their best player in Cam Thomas. I think he's taken that mantle from McHale as we currently speak, as at least best offensive player. They're waiting in the wings. It'll be intriguing to see how the Nets go over the next 10 games. I might go through that in a little bit, but I did want to speak about that Ben Simmons in general, and Jacques Vaughn spoke about him a little bit. He's talking about how important he was after missing his third straight game. It's a realization from our guys that half-court offense for us is difficult at the end of the day. And that's why we preach from day one the importance of playing with pace and getting the ball out. Make or miss, that covers up some sins, some offensive rebounds. It covers up some shot-making by the other team by putting pressure on them. There's no secret. Ben gives us an energy, a pace. Like it, love it, we miss it, we need it. It's a part of who we are. It's the way our team is built. We'll try to have to figure out who can aid in pushing the pace for us, but the realization for us is that's how we need to play. That's the most important thing. I think Spencer can easily do that. I think he's our next best passer on the team and is a really careful and precise player at the same time. But I think Spencer can provide a lot more in what Jacques Vaughn is sort of alluding to there in the absence of Ben Simmons. But yeah, that, and I think, yeah, we'll see how it goes. And hopefully, it's hard to sort of think about when Ben could be back, because the quotes, you know, that we heard from in the previous game that Nick and I alluded to, you know, it could be next game, it could be a couple of games, but hopefully it's sooner rather than later. And he's just so important in terms of generating quality offense for the rest of his teammates. It's just as simple as that. But a few other little notes, guys. I wanted to just discuss a little bit about the Long Island Nets and Noah Clowney, who had a nice showing, you know, 19 points and 12 rebounds in his first Long Island Nets game. In 34 minutes, you know, was strong. He rebounded. He looked fluid defensively. You know, a lot of people sort of saying he's the Nick Claxton replacement. I want them both. But yeah, he looked good. He took 4 3-pointers, hit one of them. So like, I think he's a really, really promising player. We saw Jalen Wilson really, really cook. And he said this, overall, I felt I was pretty good. It's always good to get the win. I'm just trying to come out here, be aggressive, play good basketball. I want to put everybody involved. Even though we only played 2 games together, we all picked up a pretty good feel for each other. So I'm just trying to get everyone involved. So, yeah, look, I love seeing what these young guys are going to produce. And there's going to be a lot of... It shows the depth of the roster, that the fact they've got a guy that likes to Jalen Wilson, Derek Whitehead. It was cool to see him play his first game. Had a really nice shot, but obviously he'll be better for the run. Was only 1-9 from the field. So good to see him back up and going. And man, when Derek Whitehead's playing, I'm going to be really excited, guys. Like, people think I'm obsessed about Cam Thomas. Derek Whitehead might be my new guy that I become obsessed about. DW obsessed. But looking forward to the next 10 games. Let's end the podcast with this. So I'm just going to go through the schedule and then my just general prediction on whether it'll be a win or a loss. So, got the Orlando Magic at home, then against the Miami, then Philly at home, then Atlanta away, Miami again, but this time at home, Chicago at home, Toronto at home, Charlotte at home, Orlando at home. So, that's a nice little 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 game home stretch before heading off to Sacramento. So, look, Orlando... could we go either way? I'm going to notch it up as a W. Miami, I think they're going to bounce back against us. I think that they'll take that one. Philly, I think, are playing incredibly well. So I think that they've probably got that W in the bag as well. But Atlanta, Miami, Chicago. If the Nets can go 2-1 out of those, that'd be pretty positive, you know, and extend the homestand. Toronto, Charlotte, Orlando. These are all teams that the Nets are going to be vying for postseason, you know, seeding for, whether it's the 6 seed, the play-in or whatever. So I think that I'd give them another 2 out of that. So look, I'm going to go out of that run. Let's go 6-4. I'd be more than happy with that. And hopefully Cam Thomas is back somewhere, you know, around that Chicago-Miami game, the start of the homestand. That'd be sensational, but we'll see how it does pan out. And guys, it's always a pleasure podcasting for you. Nets World, baby, 500, we ride.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is 4 missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.